It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. For parents, raising boys to be good men has always been a daunting task. It's only gotten more complicated in the era of social media. Our next guests say it's more important than ever to talk about big issues with boys because you never know what sources they might turn to for guidance instead. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have boys of your own, young children, adolescents? Maybe they're grown up now. What were some of the big challenges you encountered in raising them? How do you support them in eventually becoming good adults? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Jennifer L.W. Fink is a Wisconsin-based writer, registered nurse, mother of four boys. She co-hosts the podcast On Boys. She's the author of the book Building Boys, Raising Great Guys in a World That Misunderstands Males. Jennifer, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me.
And Christopher Pepper is the author of the Teen Health Today newsletter, co-author of the forthcoming book Talk to Your Boys. He's an award-winning health educator in the San Francisco Unified School District. He helps coordinate there the district's Young Men's Health Project. Christopher, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jennifer, as I mentioned, your subtitle is Raising Great Guys in a World That Misunderstands Males. What do you think that we in the U.S. misunderstand about boys?
I think there's two main things. First of all, I think that many people, myself included, before I had sons, misunderstand the fact that gender affects boys and men's lives too. It sounds naive, but I did not fully realize that boys too are affected and limited by gender stereotypes. And the second thing is people tend to misunderstand male development. And broadly speaking, very broadly speaking, boys' brains and bodies mature more slowly than their female counterparts, which is part of why you can see a big difference between your average 5-year-old boy, 5-year-old girl, 15-year-old boy, and 15-year-old girl.
Christopher, you were once a boy yourself growing up in Elkhorn, Wisconsin. What are some of the challenges that you now find yourself talking to young boys, high school boys in your work?
Yes, I did grow up in Wisconsin, and there's a lot of wonderful things about growing up as a boy. But one of the things that you learn pretty early growing up and is sort of lessons about what it means to be, sometimes you hear this, like, be a man. You hear real clear ideas about what's okay to be, what's okay as far as a way to act as a boy, and what's sort of over the line. So things get pretty restrictive in some ways about how people can talk, what they can be interested in, what they can wear. All those kind of things are pretty prescribed and enforced, and sometimes with bullying, sometimes with teasing, sometimes with violence. And all those things, although there's been some significant change over the last couple generations, all those things are still very present in the minds of boys. They're trying to figure out how to be in the world and really looking for examples of what's okay and what's not okay in the eyes of their peers and the rest of society.
And Jennifer, one really interesting thing and powerful thing I took away from your book is, if you're a parent of a boy, whatever you expect from a boy, maybe whatever you want from a boy, whether that's, matching up what we might think of as a stereotypical boy or breaking those stereotypes, you might not get it. They might end up being very different than you want or expect. And you talk about the idea of acceptance and being ready to, not push back against that, but work with them. Can you talk about that a little?
Yes. Parenting is the most humbling experience in the world, I think. So, and so many parents of children of all genders have experienced this. But if you are expecting and thinking that you are going to have a little boy who's going to love trucks and be rough and tumble, and he instead prefers to dance or read or create art, you may be tempted, particularly if you have been affected by societal expectations for boys. Perhaps if you are a dad who maybe had some of the same interests, maybe were bullied, maybe experienced some violence because of that, you might try, out of concern and love for your child, to steer him in more societally acceptable directions.
And
that can come from love, but that can create a lot of conflict and within parent and child relationships and shame and discomfort in the boy.
And Christopher, I want to dive into the theme of your forthcoming book with any kid. It can be, as a parent, tough to have conversations about issues of gender and things that can be difficult conversations. You say that's crucial that we could talk about these things with boys. Tell us how important that is and how we can make those first steps.
Yes. Sometimes people have this idea that boys are not that interested in talking about gender or talking about some kind of substantial issues. The stereotype is that boys only are interested in video games or sports or things like that. My experience is actually that when you can get boys to a place where they're ready to have a conversation, they're very interested in social relationships. They're very interested in talking about gender. They're really curious about how to be a successful man in the world. And I do think that we're sort of leaving a space open where we're not necessarily having those conversations with the boys. And I really want to just encourage parents and teachers and anyone who has boys in their life to have caring conversations with them, to really be coming as a curious listener, hearing what boys have to say, trying to push them a little bit to be a little more expansive in their thinking and stay engaged in conversations. I think there's a lot of conversations that people mean to have. They kind of know, oh, I should probably be talking to my son about that. And they just let it slip by, or they don't have the kind of in-depth conversations that would really be helpful. And I think that's the sort of ultimate purpose of the book that I'm working on, which is called Talk to Your Boys, is to help give tips for families to have those challenging conversations, to actually sit down and say, we need to talk about this. I know it's an awkward thing, but we're going to do it. And to provide some backup and say, yes, you can get through these conversations and the world will be better for you having done it.
We're talking about raising boys to be good adults. Christopher Pepper is with us. His forthcoming book is called Talk to Your Boys. Jennifer Fink, also with us. Her book is called Building Boys, Raising Great Guys in a World That Misunderstands Males. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Jennifer, picking up on the point Christopher made about having these conversations, there was an anecdote in your book about dealing with emotion that really stood with me about that connects the idea of meeting boys where they are. A mom, her husband has died, her son's father has died, and she's worried. He doesn't seem to be grieving. All he's doing is playing basketball. And she got some advice. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, this story has stuck with me in the years since I first heard it from a gentleman named Tom Goldman, or Golden, who is a therapist. And the mom expressed her concern to him. And he basically said, hey, go out there and shoot some hoops with him. And the long and short of it was that this boy, he had been trying to perfect, I believe it was his three-pointer, might have been free throws, but he was trying to perfect his shot with his father. And so when his father passed, what looked to the mom like this boy not dealing with his emotions was this boy not only processing his emotions in a very physical way, but remembering and attempting to honor his father by achieving this thing that the two of them had been working on together.
And Christopher, another part of the importance of talking to boys, having these conversations, is if we parents don't, or teachers or others, there's a lot of people on the internet who will, and some of them are just god-awful bad. You think of a self-proclaimed misogynist influencer like Andrew Tate, currently on trial or waiting trial for sex trafficking, kidnapping, and more. There are awful voices out there who are going to fill in the gaps if we don't.
That's exactly right. And I think the way to address that is really with curiosity. Andrew Tate is someone who is very charismatic and has a message for boys. He's trying to explain in his way what it means to be successful in the world. And, you know, that looks like a lot of flashy cars, a lot of women around, a lot of money. And there's not a lot of substance about in his message. And obviously, as you mentioned, like a huge amount of negativity. But the reason, I think that the thing to be curious about is why are boys drawn to that? And I think part of that is because we don't have other people who are kind of saying, hey, here's other ways to be a good man in the world. And he's taking up a lot of that space. So if I were dealing with a kid, and there's a lot of kids who are interested in Andrew Tate and other characters like him, I think the right approach for dealing with that is to be curious, to engage in conversation, and to be really careful to not come in with judgment and just come in and say, this is wrong. I'm going to take your phone if you're looking at that kind of stuff. But to be engaged, you may have to put up with kids looking at some things that you disagree with, but try and be strategic about, okay, I saw my son looking at this. You know, I really don't think this is right, but I want to keep him engaged. I want to keep him close to me and be able to keep talking about these kind of things. So to not come in with a lot of judgment or things that are going to make him feel shamed or go and hide things from you, but to try and do everything you can to keep those avenues of communication open.
Talking to Christopher Pepper, co-author of the upcoming book, Talk to Your Boys, and Jennifer Fink, Wisconsin-based author of the book, Building Boys, looking at how to help boys grow up to be good, well-adjusted people in our modern-day climate. It can be tough in the social media era. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you worry about the influence of the internet and social media if you're the parent of boys? Do you see them coming up with stuff? Do you think, where did that come from? Do you have questions about how to open up conversations with boys? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Jennifer L.W. Fink, Wisconsin-based author of the book Building Boys, and Christopher Pepper, co-author of the upcoming book Talk to Your Boys, looking at the unique challenges that boys go through growing up and through adolescence, how parents can help guide them through it. You could join in at 800-642-1234. If there's something you wish you had heard or a lesson you wish you had known when you were growing up as a boy, love to hear you share that. Also, parents out there, join in with your perspectives or questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Michael is with us in Appleton. Michael, hi.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. So I'm coming at this from the perspective of having grown up a boy, but also being a dad. I am a single parent, single father to a daughter. I guess the reason I'm calling is just that I would say both to raising in terms of raising boys or raising people generally, just that overall to encourage them to listen to perspectives that are different from their own. Just in general. I think Jen earlier had mentioned that she didn't really realize until she had boys that gender roles or gender stereotypes hurt both boys and girls. And, you know, it just sort of reminded me of something that I think a lot of men don't understand about feminism is that feminism teaches us that patriarchy and gender stereotypes hurt everyone, not just women.
Michael, gotcha. Thanks a lot for the call. Jennifer, your thoughts on Michael's perspective?
I think that is an excellent point. And it's something that I remind myself of as a mom of sons, too. My sons, who have been growing up, you know, in the 2000s primarily, they don't have the perspective to understand what came before that. They grew up in classrooms that were often female dominated. So they don't understand the history of what happened and why women and girls got extra support. They don't know that in my lifetime, it was first when women could get credit cards in their own name. So we have to help provide context and expose our children to other perspectives.
Thanks a lot for that call, Michael. Christopher, another thing you're an advocate for is not just parents having conversations with boys, but bringing boys together to talk about these kind of things and having boys groups in school. What does that look like? What are some of the benefits?
Yes. I really have seen how powerful it can be to bring small groups of boys together, usually in middle or high school, just to talk about what it's like to be a boy today, to talk about some of the pressures that boys are feeling. And this is something that's been a learning process for me. It was, I kind of at work was told, oh, we want to run these groups. And I was the person that was put in charge of them. I didn't know if they would be successful. And what I've seen is that boys are really interested in having these conversations, and that they want to talk about what they see in the news, what they hear in songs, about how masculinity is kind of playing out on a in their everyday world. And they need help figuring it out. And there's a real space for guided conversations, ideally with a caring adult, a teacher, a social worker, someone who can put some thought and time into this. It's great if we can have men in those leadership roles, either as the facilitator for their group or a co-facilitator with somebody of another gender, and just give them some space to talk about these things, because it really is often something that they're interested in talking about, but does not get space, or they don't have a place in their life to talk about these kind of things. And they're really interested in it. They also really support each other. And I think helping boys make friends and make bonds with one another is something that's really crucial and provides a life skill that will benefit boys for the rest of their lives, and benefit the people that they end up parenting and partnering with later on. If they can get those relationship skills down, it will help them for the rest of their lives.
And Jennifer, it seems like there's a hunger from boys, even through high school, to talk about things like emotions and gender and their experience. But I'm guessing, having been a boy myself, the assumption is that, well, but other boys aren't going to want to talk about that. And well, if I want to fit in, I better not talk about that. Yeah. Is that out there? How do you overcome that?
That is definitely out there. And I think we all need to give our boys some grace. They are learning to have these conversations. They will screw up. And they are living in a society that is still getting used to this idea of males supporting and talking to one another. Often, with especially those middle school boys into high school, often care and concern are expressed in ways that can look like joking and teasing and giving each other a hard time. And it's really helpful if they have adults such as Christopher around to help talk them through kind of what are some of those guidelines? When do you know is it going too far? How do you express care without hurting somebody or putting somebody else down? At the same time, we all can relax a little bit, I think, because generally the boys are trying to figure this out, and they are connecting the best ways they know how in ways that they can, while still kind of preserving their social place. And that's challenging. Anybody who has ever been an adolescent can remember that.
Let's go back to our callers. Kevin is with us in Milwaukee. Kevin, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What'd you want to tell us about,
Thank
Kevin?
Oh, yes. I'm a deacon at my church, and we deal with boys, teenagers up to 25 years. Matter of fact, we have a group called Boys to Men. Mm-hmm. And basically what we do is pretty much what you're talking about. We show boys about love, understanding. We even bring biblical into it. But to have them understand that not only should they have respect for others, but definitely have respect for their own self, in order to achieve what they want to do. So we just kind of put a lot of things together. In fact, we have a closed door policy where whatever we talk about in the room stays in the room. So that gives them a chance to let loose on the things that they feel. We do have two mentors. If it can get out of hand, you know, we know what to do at that point. But a lot of them happen to have issues where, you know, that they can share with one another. Some might have an issue. One of the other guys might went through that, so he can help that young man go through it himself. So we try to make them bond together as far as age-wise and helping one another.
Kevin, thank you so much for sharing that. Christopher, does that sound like the sort of thing you're talking about doing in schools and elsewhere?
Yes, I really thank you, Kevin, for that comment. I think a lot of boys are just lonely and feel like they're having trouble connecting. Partially this is happening because everybody's got a cell phone, and boys play a lot of video games where they often, you know, have to be at their spot, and they get on their game at their spot. And even if they're playing with friends, their friends are not in the same place. So having a place to connect in real life and get to know people a little on a little bit deeper level is very beneficial. Having some guidance from adults who've been there and having a place for peers to talk to one another, that's really something that a lot of boys would benefit from.
Thanks again for sharing that with us, Kevin. Jennifer, one other big point I took from your book is for everybody else, not the young, not the teenage boys here. You write that a lot of us think of young men as a threat first and foremost, an object of fear. Obviously, that can't be good for them. How do we get over that?
No, it's kind of difficult. And I think it's particularly challenging for those of us who are female, because broadly speaking, men are bigger than us. Men are stronger than us. And many people, male, female, non-binary alike, have been harmed by males. So we have that preconceived notion in our heads. It is up to us to try and recognize that, root it out, challenge it, and make a conscious effort to look at, especially our boys, but also our men, as fellow humans who are in need of care and concern, who need our, they need our empathy and they need our support.
And Christopher, if there are teen boys out there listening, last half a minute, leave us a bit of advice for them to maybe reach out and start these conversations with family and friends.
I think the most beneficial thing that teen boys can do is to really stretch a little bit and be comfortable expressing their emotions, talking about how they're feeling, to really be themselves and let other people in and trust that it's going to be okay. It's going to be, you can be your full self and people will love you and accept you for who you are.
We'll leave it there. Thanks to both of our guests today. We've been talking to Jennifer L.W. Fink, Wisconsin-based writer, registered nurse, mother of four boys. She co-hosts a podcast called On Boys. She's the author of the book Building Boys, Raising Great Guys in a World That Misunderstands Males. And Christopher Pepper with us, author of the Teen Health Today newsletter, co-author of the upcoming book Talk to Your Boys. We talked to him about unique challenges and pitfalls that boys face during adolescence today and how parents, schools, and others can help. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.